I'm going to start tonight with a little test. What would you say if I was to say to you, fear not, you have absolutely nothing to be worried about? Did all your fears just go away? Do you feel more secure now than before I said that? Well, probably not. But the real question is, why not? I don't know. I mean, you don't think I would deliberately mislead you, do you? I would tell you the truth. Then what is it? Why doesn't me saying you have nothing to worry about ease all your fears and insecurities? Well, the answer to that is real simple. I have neither the authority nor the power to make your troubles go away. I mean, you know that intuitively, instinctively. And I can't minimize the fact that so many of us have lived with insecurities for so long, we don't know what life would be like if we didn't have insecurities. I like to say sometimes when I went through the program for the first time, I discovered that my insecurities had insecurities. And I would not have known that I was an insecure person until I went through the fourth and fifth step. And it demonstrated to me perfectly that I did. Now, before we go any further, I want to make sure that we're all talking about the same thing. When I say fears and your fears go away, I'm not talking about phobias. I mean, fear of snakes, fear of heights, fear of spiders, all that stuff. That is not what we're talking about tonight. But what we are talking about is that gnawing insecurity that gives us just a feeling of hopelessness sometimes because we just know things are not going to work out well for us. Now, if we're talking about emotional insecurity, we're talking about something that really affects our well-being and keeps us from being comfortable in life and a lot of other things. Now, there are a whole lot of different kinds of emotional insecurities, and I want to go through a few of them just to give you an example of what we're talking about. Probably the very most common insecurity that people, especially in the program, have is fear of economic security. When you can't make enough money to do what you want to do, then you get real insecure and take it personally. And many of us, sometimes through no fault of our own, but sometimes very much our own fault, have placed ourselves in a position where it is very difficult to get and even more difficult to hold a reasonable job. Sometimes we've made poor choices in the past that have caught up with us. Things like not taking advantage of a good education. Lots of people quit school earlier than they should, and certainly don't go on to higher education, but if they would, they would find themselves able to hold a decent job. But some of us have just not taking advantage of that when it was available. And some of us, it wasn't available because we had to work to survive. Now, some of us also have burned a lot of bridges during our addiction. I know I did. For that matter, some of us have burned a few bridges because of things we have done that have nothing to do with our addiction. But we still... Some of us passed up the opportunity to get a good education for whatever reason, and we find our job prospects are very much limited because of that. Now, if you are fearful of your economic security, I have good news for you. Economic problems are only about money and stuff, which in the grand scheme of things are just really not that important to life. They may seem important at the moment, but 10 years from now, you will not remember what you were worried about. More importantly, economic problems are never fatal, nor are they, only in rare circumstances, are they permanent. No matter what economic condition you find yourself in, with a little determination and a lot of hard work, you can always change it for the better. Now, another fear that people have is the fear of being alone. And that's a very real fear to some of us because we've driven away all the people that have ever cared about us. Some of us have messed up so many relationships that we don't think we could ever have another good one. Or worse than that, some of us feel we don't deserve a good relationship. Well, if you're in that situation, I have good news for you there, too. We have a loving, caring God that wants nothing but the best for us. And that includes everything that will make us happy. For every one of us who wants a life mate, God has someone in mind that will be the perfect fit for us. And we only need to stay close to God and improve our relationship with Him until the time comes for Him to put the two of us together. But you might ask, why do I have to wait? I want that right now. Well, it's a good question, but sometimes we're not in a position to appreciate a relationship like that. God might need to work in our lives and help us to become the kind of a person that would be attractive to the one He has in mind. Or maybe the other person isn't ready to have a relationship with us, and God needs to work on them a little longer. The problem with all of this is that few of us are patient enough to wait on God. But which would you prefer, really? A relationship now that is less than the best, or the perfect relationship sometime down the road? I know really which one I would prefer, and I got it. Now, there are lots of other fears we might have. Some of us are afraid that our health will go bad. Some of us with good reason to believe our health could go bad, since we are currently ill with a number of different ailments. Some of us fear for the safety and well-being of our children. One of the most helpless feelings in the world is to have your child suffering from something and there's nothing you can do to make it better. Some people have a fear of physical pain. Well, I got news for you, that's not an unhealthy fear. I mean, I kind of don't like too much pain myself. But the constant fear of pain when you're not in danger of it is not healthy. And people who have that fear need to be getting with God. And some of us are afraid of people in general. Haven't you seen people that just can't mix in a society, in a group of any kind? Some people find it very difficult to meet new people. They're uneasy, insecure about what is that person going to think of me and things. Some, I've talked to many a person who was afraid of being in a crowd because of the fear. They have a fear of looking foolish to everyone, regardless of if they've ever actually done anything that looked foolish. Some of us see danger everywhere and go through life in a constant state of anxiety. Now, that's a whole long list of different things we can be afraid of. And I want you to realize that every one of those has one thing in common. Do you know what that is? None of them are real. They're all in our head. They're just usually in our imagination. I mean, just because you don't have enough money to do what you want to do doesn't mean you should go around life being insecure and uncomfortable. Learn to live with what you have. Now, I know I can't convince you enough so that all of your fears will just go away. But I do know someone who might be able to do that for you. We're going to take a look at what God has to say about it. And this is Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, O Jacob, and when he says O Jacob, he's talking about the Israelite people. Listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid. I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, we've already agreed that if I or probably anyone else tells you that you shouldn't be afraid, that that's not going to have much effect on you. I or anyone else don't have the power or the authority to deliver you from your problems. But this is a promise coming from Almighty God Himself. Now, it's important to know who this promise was originally made to. That this prophecy, if you will, fits into the history of the people of Israel. At the time God was speaking to them through the prophet Isaiah, the people of Israel were in captivity they were slaves in Babylon. And God is promising to deliver them. And you know what? They believed him because he had a track record. They had been slaves in Egypt, and he delivered them from there. And do you know, not many years from the time of this prophecy or this prediction, if you will, God got the slaves freed from Babylon with no effort. They didn't do anything. A new king came up. He didn't feel like having all them slaves, so he sent them back to the promised land. Not bad, huh? See, God can do anything if we give him the space to do it. Now, even our problems are not too difficult for the Lord. If he can send the slaves home from Babylon, don't you think he can handle your petty little problems that are facing you? Now, the second thing you need to realize is that all Christians are the inheritors of all of the promises that God made to the Israelite people. So let's take a real good look at what this promise says. First, he says we should not be afraid. No matter what we're going through today, these problems are insignificant when you consider the power of God Almighty. There is nothing that any of us can be going through that is too big for God to fix. So, we can face life with absolute confidence that God is on our side, and there is nothing that we should be afraid of. Then God says he has ransomed us. Other translations say he has redeemed us, and I think I like that better. To be ransomed or redeemed means that a price has been paid to purchase us back. Kind of like when you go put something in the pawn shop. When you go bring that ticket and you pay your money and you get your item back, you are said to have redeemed your property. That's what that word means. If you've been redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus, realize that's the price that God paid to get us back. Freedom from our sins, freedom from our past, and yes, freedom from all of our sins is included. By this redemption, we have been given the opportunity to be restored to a right relationship with God. And we've also been given eternal life with God in heaven. But you know what? We're restored to a full life right here, right now. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life." And he means that right here, right now. There is no place in a rich, satisfying life for fear. Then he says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." Think about that for a second. The God of the universe knows each and every one of us by name. And he's called each and every one of us by our name to be his. And it really should be a very comforting thought for all of us. And God goes even further than that in Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your names on the palm of my hand. God picks out the strongest human emotion possible, the love of a woman for the child she has born. And he says, that is how I love you. Now, it is possible for a mother not to love her child through whatever reason, drugs and alcohol, insanity. But God says, even if that were to happen, I will never forget you. Further, he says, I have carved your name on the palm of my hands. God will never abandon us. He never gives up on us, no matter what we do. And he's always there, ready to take us back and take care of us again. Now we're going to look back at Isaiah 43 at the second verse. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Okay, God lists a whole bunch of calamities, right? Things that might befall us. And he tells us, don't fear any of that. I am there with you. We need not fear deep water, rivers of difficulty. I mean, does anybody here feel like they're being overwhelmed with a river of debt, of shame, of legal problems, or any other kind of problem? God says, don't worry. I am not going to let you drown. Nor, he says, should we fear the fires of oppression. Is anyone feeling oppressed here? That life is just too much for you? Well, with God on our side, no amount of oppression can consume us. Now, I want you to pay very careful attention to the way these things are phrased, because it's really important. God never once says, if you go through this. He says, when. He's pointing out it's inevitable we are going to go through deep waters. We are going to walk through the fire of oppression. Okay? These things are inevitable. But God is going to be there with us. I mean, God is right there acknowledging that we will have problems. There are going to be difficulties. There will be oppression. God never promises us that we won't have trials to endure. One of my personal pet peeves is pastors who teach that if you follow God's will for your life, life will be a bed of roses. My Bible says Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. He didn't say, take up your bed of roses and follow me. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that were going through difficulties and tried to help them understand that God is there with them in the midst of the difficulties. And I don't know how many times they have responded to that with, "What good is that? I don't want God to go through the problems with me. I want Him to fix it so I don't have to go through the problems." Well, that's a pretty short-sighted viewpoint. I would much rather have God on my side as I go through trying times than to have to do it all by myself. If God can mature me to the point where all this petty stuff that is happening to me today just doesn't bother me anymore, that's when I will have arrived. And like everything else, you can't get there without practicing. There's only one problem with growing spiritually and practicing spiritual stuff, is it hurts. See, God says, you want patience? I will give you patience. And He gives me the patience to deal with a situation, and then He puts me in a position where I can practice being patient. And that's when He gave me Lynn. It might be more comfortable at the time for God just to wave all our problems away, but that isn't really what is best for us in the long term. When that happens, we wouldn't grow spiritually. And more importantly, God just doesn't work that way. Life is full of difficulties. And just because we're followers of Christ doesn't mean that we won't have to endure problems. Do you know why that is? I mean, why couldn't God just wave His magic wand and all my troubles disappear? The best answer to that question is, if He did, we would never grow spiritually. And we would not be fit for heaven when we get there. If you realize that your life on earth is temporary, and that our real life occurs after we leave here, then it makes sense that we're here to grow spiritually, to prepare us for eternity. And God protects us from all our difficulties, then that opportunity for growth would be lost. This way, He helps us to build the character that makes the rest of our lives more fulfilling and more rewarding. If we can keep that in mind, there's really no reason to fear any situation. Each of us, or each one of them, is a learning opportunity to help us to grow spiritually. So there's no reason to be fearful. Instead, we should be glad that we have the chance to grow. And there's another very important reason why we have to go through difficulties. It makes us useful to God. I want to show you something from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He, that means God, comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. I'm going to use my wife as an example. When I don't know how old she was, but she had a little 8-year-old daughter. Her first husband died, just got brain cancer, and within a few months, he was deceased. And she was left to raise a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. And it was a very, very difficult time for her. Very difficult. She stayed close to God. She stayed close to her church, and they helped her to get through it. Now, let me ask you something. When a woman in our church suddenly becomes a widow through her husband's death, who's going to be able to help her more than Lynn? She offers the same comfort that God gave her. And it always, I couldn't help these people. The pastor would have limited help he could give to them. But somebody who's walked in her shoes can do and help plenty. So there's a place in the big book where it promises. The promises are listed. Have you read those? And it says, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can help others. And you know helping others is what helps us more than anything else we could do. That same section says we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Now, think about that for a second. What do you suppose that means? We will not regret the past, and we will not wish to shut the door. I'd love to shut the door on some of my past. No. You see, my past is now my greatest asset. The things I have been through give me the ability to help others that I could otherwise never touch. Now, look at this verse. God is going to comfort us and help us get through our difficulties. But He's going to do that for a very specific reason, so that we can then use that experience to help others. Can you see how going through difficulties and allowing God to help us through is going to put us in a position of being able to help others? And I'm not talking about just your experience of overcoming your addiction, but your experience of overcoming your fears will be useful to help others. Now, this is really what makes the promises come true. I don't regret the past. And I don't wish to shut the door on it. I use my past to help others. And helping others is where it's at, folks. The very comfort that God gave me, I can now give to others who are experiencing the same things I went through. And I want you to know that feeling of being useful to God and useful to my fellows is worth every bit of what it took to get through those experiences and be able to be in a position to help others. Well, some of you might be thinking, okay, that's all well and good, Pastor, but I'm not there yet, and I don't see how I can ever get there. don't even know where to get started, pay attention. Have no fear. Pun intended. Jesus left us instructions for how to do it. I want you to see Matthew 6, verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own trouble. Today's trouble is enough for today. You may have missed it, but those are detailed instructions from Jesus on how to get through life without being fearful or even worrying about anything. You see, Jesus doesn't just say, well, quit your worrying, that's useless. I mean, people that tell you that, you know, sorry, you're not helping. But He says, do this instead of worry. What does He say? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then He's going to handle all your problems. So, if you're going through difficulties, and you're wondering why God is not taking care of all your problems, maybe it's because you aren't seeking first the kingdom of God. Maybe you have something that's more important in your life than God. That doesn't work, folks. I mean, if you still have troubles in your life and God doesn't seem to be taking care of you, it might be that you're not fulfilling the one requirement necessary. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. Well, how do I seek first the kingdom of God? I mean, that seems like a fancy way of saying something, but I don't understand. How do I seek first the kingdom of God? I have so many needs, I don't have time to worry about God. The answer is in the 11th step. We need to pray daily to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. If you will pray that prayer every day, and every day go through your day with that in mind that God is going to lead you right, you will intuitively know how to handle stuff that you've never been able to figure out before. If we pray that prayer every day and we mean it, and we sincerely try to determine God's will for us in any circumstance, if we're constantly trying to do only that, what we think God would have us do, then you will be seeking first the kingdom of God. And then, and only then, will you fulfill the promise to the passage that said, God is going to take care of all our problems. And when that happens, we can finally stop worrying and being fearful over what to do next. One thing we will be absolutely sure of is that if we're sincerely seeking God's will in our lives, God will reveal that will to us. We will know intuitively how to handle situations that used to baffle us. That fear of the unknown and the insecurities that we live with on a daily basis are going to all evaporate. So, I have a challenge for you. Give it a try and see what happens. Try praying every day, every morning, for the knowledge of God's will for you that day. And mean it. And sincerely try to determine what God would have you do in any circumstance. And pray for the strength to do God's will when it's revealed. And then you can sit back and watch all your fears fade into insignificance. See, God really meant it when he said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank you for all you do in our lives. We thank you for the good news, the gospel of Jesus that allows us to learn how you would have us behave in a world that is sometimes less than perfect. We thank you that you're there to cover us and help us through all of our insecurities and all of our fears. Help us, Lord, to take a proactive step to making our own life better. Help us to pray every day for the knowledge of your will for us and the power to carry that out. And give us the knowledge that we know we can be what you want us to be, and we will never have to worry or be fearful again. Help us, Lord, to become a little bit more like you each day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.